You know, you're all being true Presbyterians today in that you're sitting in the back of the church when we've got this perfectly good front half, other than the roses, that's pretty much wide open, right? So I'll have to come back to you. If you don't know, I love music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Skip the 50s stuff, don't like it, never did, but 60s, 70s, and 80s, all of it. You ever get a song stuck in your head? Well, I've got a song stuck in my head. It's been there for a couple of weeks. I don't know if you know it, the Classics Four. Anyone know the group, the Classics Four from the 60s? The song is Traces. Who knows the first line of that song? I knew Brian would. What is it, Brian? All right, he knew the first part of that line. Faded photographs covered now with lines and creases. That has been going over and over in my head for the past couple of weeks. So it started me thinking about photographs. Leanne, I'm going to call you out, even though I didn't prepare you for this. How many photographs of your grandkids are in your phone? Some people obviously have experience with Leanne. Are there hundreds? Do you have hundreds of different grandkids?
No.
Only two. Different photographs in different settings, different times, different places, right? We all have those photographs. Some of us still do photo albums. I know we have some old photo albums at home. I have no photos on my phone because I take really bad pictures. So I don't waste my time, but I know my wife does. Anyone else have lots of photos on their phones? Confession time, right? We all do it. Some of them are happy photos, sad photos, angry photos, mad photos, right? They all show different moods, different settings, different times, different places. I want you to think about the photo you have on your phone or in your album, whatever it is. That's your favorite. Okay, you all have one that's a favorite. I can think of one. We have photo albums of my daughter when she was very little. That's always been my favorite, right? You all have a favorite photo in your head. Scripture is very much a photo album of God. And it presents for us different pictures or snapshots of God. Same God, different settings, different times, different places, different people's experiences of God. Which photo of God do you like best out of Scripture? Is it the God of creation who creates and says, "This is very good"? Or how about the God of Abraham who says that he will make us into a great nation? Or the God of Isaac, who says, "I will choose the younger and not the older"? Is that your favorite God? Or the God of Exodus, who saves us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, who saves us with powerful and frightening signs and wonders? How about the God of Exodus? Who watched the Ten Commandments last night on TV? You know the God of Exodus, right? Is that the one you love best? Or the God of Sinai, who terrifies us with fire and smoke, who gives us the law? Or how about, I know this isn't going to be on anyone's favorite list, how about the God of Leviticus, who commands us to sacrifice, to be obedient, who commands us to be holy because he is holy? Is that your favorite God? Or the God of Deuteronomy, who says, "I offer you blessings and curses, life and death"? And you know what? He loves us anyway when we insist on making those wrong choices over and over again. Is that the God you love best, the photo you most enjoy? Or the God of David, who loves us and calls us righteous no matter what we do? Or the God of the prophets, who sings us songs, God's sad songs of loss and punishment and disappointment and heartbreak, and then turns around and sings us songs of restoration and hope. Is that the God? The God who says, come home, all is forgiven. Or perhaps it's the God who says he's our good shepherd. That's a good picture of God to hold on to. Or the God of Zechariah and Mary and Elizabeth, who reminds us that there's always hope, that there's always another way, that things don't have to stay the way they are. The God in Jesus Christ who came to seek and save the lost, to heal those who were broken and loved the unlovable. Which God do you like best? Which snapshot from Scripture? Which picture? Maybe it's this God. I think you'll know this one. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. The God who becomes, the God who really becomes, not just like a God in human clothing, but who really becomes one of us and pitches his tent right there alongside us. The God of angel song and shepherd proclamation. Is that the story you like best? The God of the Christmas story? Is that the one? Wait a minute. Today is Easter, not Christmas. That was 4 months ago. Maybe it's the God who heals the sick and cures the lame and feeds the hungry, or the God who teaches us to live with him and each other in justice and mercy, or the God who speaks to the wind and the waves and commands them to be still. Is that the picture of God you like best? Or the God who commands dead Lazarus to come forth? Now that's a picture of God that still gives me goosebumps every time I hear that story. But he's not quite my favorite. Not quite. But getting closer. Or the God who gave it all up for us, to die as one of us, to die for us on the cross. Is he your beloved? Then again, I think for me, it's the God of the one word. At least that's my name for it. Now see if you know what I mean. The joyful, playful God of the garden, not the Garden of Eden, or the Garden of Gethsemane. No, not that one. They're good, but not the best. I love most and best the God of the one word who stands in the graveyard and who speaks one word. Just one word. And it sounds like this. Mike. Maybe you heard it just a little differently than I did. Maybe it didn't sound quite like Mike to you. Maybe it sounded more like Bill or Jane or Nancy or Don. Is that your favorite God? For me, I do think that the God of the one word, the God of Easter, is my favorite. Try that one on for size. Just say it. Say that one word along with me. That one word we all need to hear. Say it with me. What's that one word? All right, you can do better than that. It's Easter. Come on. What's that one word that God says, Mike? All right, we're getting a little better. That God of the one word, the God who speaks our name there in the garden, the God who taps us on the shoulder and calls our name so that there is no doubt who he's talking to. Do you like that God best? The God of the empty tomb, the God of triumph over sin and death, that playful God of Easter, the one who plays tag with us in the graveyard. That's the picture, the photograph of God I like best. So what if it was? What if the God of the one word was to call your name? What would you do? Would you turn around? Would you grab hold of him and never let go? Would that one word, the sound of your name, ring in your ears and awaken amazing and wonderful things inside of you? Would you let that happen? Your name resonate deep inside of you, shaking loose all of that from that one word whispered in a graveyard? Where is your graveyard today? Where is your place of dead dreams and dying hopes buried? Where are the painful and hurting and dead places in you right now? Where are you like Mary on that Easter morning, coming to the tomb of her buried hopes and her broken dreams and her shattered relationships and dead thoughts, coming to worship at the tomb of all that was and all that no longer is and all that never will be? Do you see that God of the one word standing there, waiting to tap you on the shoulder and say your name, to call you back from all of those if onlys and I can't and it never will be? Does the sound of your name touch something deep inside of you, something broken and hurting? What is it? Now take a picture of that in your mind. That's a snapshot to take a long, hard look at. Just get a good look at that picture and remember its details. Now, can you lay that photo down and walk away and walk into new life? Does that one word give you renewed hope and conviction and resolve to go forth into the world of your life and start again? So which God do you like best? For me, I love. No, make that I need. More than anything, that God of the one word, the God of Easter, the God who simply says, Mike, to my turn back and to my closed ears and awakens me to new life, all with that one simple little word. That God I love best. Because that God is the God who can save me and heal me and call out the best in me and make me live for Him. And if that doesn't say Easter, if that doesn't say resurrection, if that doesn't say new life, then I don't know what does. Christ is risen. Amen.